Hey guys, welcome to the Press Rose Not Safe podcast. I'm Brian Peterson. We've got a few guys coming on here to talk some college hoops mostly. First of all, we're going to have Jimmy Lemke from PantherU.com, who we've had on Punch.Out Radio a few times. He's broken a few of the Horizon League movements going on in the off season, and he's going to talk to us specifically now about the story coming out. He's reporting that Oakland is officially going to make the jump to the Horizon League from the Summit League. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in the Horizon League and what that's going to mean for the schools involved in the conferences. And then also Raphael Johnson from NBC's College Basketball Talk blog is also going to join us later in the show to talk a little bit about this past season and some movement in the off season as well. All right, Ron here with Jimmy Lemke, PantherU.com. Jimmy, how's it going?
Fantastic. How's it going, Brian?
Doing pretty good. All right, so loose lips, sinking ships. You got the news story on Oakland moving to the Horizon League. Obviously, this is something that's been precipitated. It's been in the clouds for a while, and now it's finally pouring. Talk a little bit about how this one broke.
Well, the great thing about the thing about Oakland, I should say this first, is that Oakland has been the school that everybody in the conference has pointed to, except Detroit, obviously, as this is the next school for probably ever since Valpo came to the conference.
Maybe Detroit's pointed with a sharp object. Not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Detroit is pointing with a
shiv.
With a poker. And they're just, yeah. I mean, they weren't very happy, but what basically happened is we had been looking at realignment ever since Butler left. The commissioner, John LeCrone, who doesn't have a whole lot of support among the fan base because they think he doesn't do anything. he's been actively searching for teams since Butler informed him they were leaving. So last March, he's been actively looking for new schools. I know that there was a contingency plan in case Butler left for a long time, but they thought what happened last year is that Butler let them know right before, like right around like the Sweet 16 last season. And they told everybody, I got a call from one of their assistants and he said, oh yeah, we're moving to the A-10. And that's why I ran with that last year. And then Butler was supposed to still be in the conference this season for the 2012-13 season. And the board of directors, in what I felt like was a really dumb move, decided to ban Butler from playing for any conference championships, which meant that they wouldn't be able to play in the Horizon League tournament in any sport. They were gonna they voted to ban them from any of those championships. So Butler was like, well, why the hell would we want to even stay in the conference? And they moved. They decided to move straight to the Atlantic 10 in like early to mid May last year. I can't remember the exact date. I want to say it was like May 5th or May 6th or something. And they decided that their move was going to happen earlier than expected. And the Horizon League was looking at other schools at that point, but we hadn't made a decision as to what school we were going to take. I mean, everybody thought it was going to be Oakland anyways, but nobody knew. Like, it didn't seem like there was a rush because we knew we'd have a year with Butler sticking around. So it wasn't like they were really pushing any school to say yes immediately. And the way it ended was, by the time we had Oakland, from what some of the sources have told me, by the time Oakland was like, oh yeah, we'll come, it was way too late to get them in for the 2012-13 season. Because we think about basketball, and the basketball schedule, you know, it doesn't matter if it's late May or early June. But for sports like soccer and volleyball and all that, having to add schools in June is just, I mean, it totally screws up your scheduling. Like, I just talked to one of our, I talked to one of the coaches in, one of our fall sports coaches at Milwaukee. I won't say which sport because he didn't want to be named. But they said, if we were to add like four schools right now, it would just totally screw up our schedule and we'd have to call up non-conference opponents and cancel games, which we don't want to do because who wants to go and screw with something like that? Because then those coaches won't be likely to add us in for games in the future. So that's why Oakland didn't happen last year. And then this year, I think they just really wanted to do due diligence. They had, in the past, John LaCrone had pushed heavily to add Youngstown State, which turned out to be such an awful addition. I mean, they've been bad. They were celebrating their sixth place finish this season. I mean, they've just been a total tough, terrible program, and nobody wanted to add another Youngstown State, and obviously Youngstown came from the MidCon where Oakland was, where Velpo was, and Velpo had been so good and Youngstown had been so bad that we just had to make sure that what we were adding was the best team, and obviously they made the decision that it's going to be Oakland, which most everybody feels that it's good. I mean, even if you go to the Detroit message board, you'll see that most of them wanted to have Oakland because, hey, this is a good rivalry game that we can have. And I know that there's some enmity between Coach Campy and Coach McCallum at Detroit, and I don't know if that's going to last very far or very long because Ray McCallum Jr. just is about to declare for the NBA draft, and they're not going to have that. So what happened was, you know, they took a visit. The Council of Presidents went to Oakland University. They checked it out, and they said it was good to go. They drafted all the papers. What's going to have to happen is the Horizon League, the board of directors and the executive council are going to have to meet. The board of directors is going to have to approve them. And Oakland is going to have to get their, I think Oakland's going to have to get their board to say yes, but I think, I'm pretty sure they already did that late last week, which is why all of these sources are telling me now, and they weren't telling me last week Sunday. So it looks like Oakland's definitely going to be in.
Yeah. Okay. So now you've pretty much corroborated. We've kind of gone over it, but there's a lot of, you got to understand now, this has been brewing for so long. Naturally, yeah. A lot of skeptical fans out there from Oakland saying, seems like this has been lingering so long, not even sure it's going to happen. And now, you know, it looks like pretty much a sure thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you this. Yesterday, when we were finishing our baseball sweep of UIC, I sat with a couple people in our athletic department, including Andy Geiger, who's our outgoing athletic director. He was the AD at Ohio State for like a decade. And Andy told me, and a couple of the other fans, a couple of donors and a couple donors that were at the game and myself, he said that Oakland is going to be for this season. So it was it beyond a shadow of a doubt. If Andy Geiger is willing to just tell fans that Oakland is in, I think we've moved past the point of doubting this. So finally it's happening, and I'm so pleased.
How concrete do you think it's going to be that it may be for the 2013-14 athletic season?
Andy seemed to be so sure about it, so it looks it's got to be. I know that the Horizon League has been working on the Horizon League has been meeting for schedule. They're meeting for scheduling this week, and I'm sure that's when they'll vote. The executive council is like the athletic directors and senior women's administrators and stuff. They're meeting for scheduling this week, so I'm expecting that I was told that they have been playing out scenarios of a 9-team league, a 10-team league, even an 8-team league, just in case nobody said yes. So I'm pretty sure, and then when Andy said yesterday, he was so sure about it. I'm 100% sure that Oakland's in for the 2013 season.
Let's talk really quick about maybe, you know, 9 teams. Obviously, there's going to be the contemplation of whether to, you know, add one more, obviously, and stay at 10, or to go to 12. You have some opinions on that, I know, as far as maybe preferential additions to the conference.
Well, I mean, speaking from straight up from a numbers standpoint, the Horizon League was at 8 for 8 years, from 94-95 through 2000, right before we added Youngstown State. And we had 9 when it was just Youngstown, from the 2000-2001 season all the way to the 06-07 season. We had just the 9 teams. So it's not like the Horizon League absolutely needs to add another school before this upcoming season. Obviously, we just spent the last season in a 9-team conference. I think everybody just prefers a 10-team conference because in basketball, then you're talking about an 18-game round-robin schedule that would just be fantastic. I mean, you only have to schedule 12 games, whereas with a 9-team league, you have to schedule 14 non-conference games. And, you know, 12 and 14 non-conference games doesn't seem like a lot, but we're still looking for games in the non-conference season. And many, many schools around the country have already finished their schedules. So it's important to get the schools before everybody else has found their dance partners. And I think I know that the coaches, at least our coaches, and some coaches at UIC and Valpo, would prefer that we have a 10th school so that they're not looking for that 13th and 14th school. Because this season, I mean, at Milwaukee, we played University of Mary. We played Ohio Dominican. I mean, we played two non-Division I teams. I mean, we're not like Youngstown. Youngstown plays like 3 or 4 of those teams every year because they don't have any budget to go anywhere. So they always have to play the D3 schools in their area. But for Milwaukee, our fans practically revolt if you bring them home games against non-Division I teams. So you want to get that. You want to get the amount of games set immediately. And as far as 12 is concerned, I think it would be too late for this season because I don't know if the Horizon League, like I said, they were working on contingency plans for schedules for 8, 9, and 10 teams. I don't know if they were working on one in case we had 12 teams. I don't know if they were working on one for the fall sports. So I know that men's soccer here at Milwaukee, which is our number 2 sport after basketball, I know men's soccer finished their schedule, and if we went to 12, they would also, not just the other fall coach, but they would also have to, you know, call up teams and say, sorry, we're going to have to not play you this year. I know that it would just be kind of rough to get add a couple schools. Plus, in the email with the administrator that I just put out the article for on the website, I mean, he said that, you know, the time period for new schools will depend on how quickly the other schools can get board approval and leave their prospective conferences. So if we're going to be waiting for another month for a school to get it, then it's going to have to be for the 2014-15 school year. It's not going to be for 2013-14. It just can't be.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about it. You talked about men's soccer a little bit. You know, Oakland really, you know, aside from basketball, our strong suits, our swimming and diving, where we've been really dominant, and then our men's and women's soccer. I checked it out, and I know on the men's and the women's side, Oakland had the highest RPI of any Summit League team on both sides, men's and women's last season. Kind of give in soccer. And we've been traditionally good. The area around here, if you're not familiar, is really a good kind of breeding ground for high school players and whatnot.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a little bit about you talked about your guys' men's is really good. Who are some of the better schools, and how have you guys stacked up in soccer, especially with Butler leaving?
Well, Butler, the thing about Butler with soccer is that they really only got good at the end. Like it was probably like 08 or 09 season where Butler finally started to be like a championship contender in soccer. For years, the conference was dominated by UIC and Milwaukee. In men's soccer, it was always UIC or Milwaukee. And UIC had, it was either 08 or 09, UIC had an Elite Eight appearance. And Milwaukee had a string of 5 years where we won at least one game in the NCAA tournament. So it was really those two schools from like the mid 90s all the way till 2005, until 2005, 2006. And then we dropped off when we lost our coach to Marquette. And we hired the wrong guy afterward. And then when we fired that guy, we hired the wrong guy after him, and we finally got a good coach. So now we're finally making the move up. But UIC was really good for a long time, and they lost their coach to Wisconsin, and they've fallen off too. Butler got good, but Butler really wasn't a championship contender until like right before they left. Green Bay was really good, and then they lost their coach. They hired a guy named Chris Kelderman, who has been an MLS assistant. He's a fast riser. He's a really good coach. And they had him for 1 year, and then we stole him from them, which was a great deal for Milwaukee fans. We loved the idea of just stealing Green Bay's coach. And, we took Chris Kelderman from them. But Green Bay's been pretty good. Youngstown State's never been anything in soccer. In fact, I don't even think they have a men's soccer program. Wright State's never been a strong program.
Loyola was really good, so I know that maybe that'll hurt a little bit, right?
What was that?
Loyola, pretty good.
Loyola had a few years there where they were pretty good. Loyola was a much stronger team in women's soccer. Loyola had this player named Cynthia Marote Ariza, who was like player of the year like 3 years in a row. And she actually didn't even finish her career because she tore her ACL like twice in a row. But Loyola was pretty good in women's soccer for a while, for a good amount of years. In men's soccer, they had a couple really good seasons. In fact, I think they won the title. I think they were the champions in 2011 or 2012. But they were like the last seed of a conference tournament and just lucked out on being able to get, if I remember correctly, the championship game that they won, they were outshot by like 20 shots, but they scored like 2 goals on 5 shots, and the other team scored like no goals or 1 goal on like 25 shots. So it was really by luck that Loyola even got in the tournament, and then they fouled out immediately to Bradley. But Loyola, it hurts that we lost them in soccer, but we know Oakland's better than them in soccer. I mean, at Milwaukee, we've known Oakland's been great for years. Our old coach, Louis Bennett, always scheduled Oakland. Oakland was constantly scheduled. So we knew, I was talking to Kyle Zanoni, who's the assistant coach for our men's soccer team. And we were talking about prospective schools, and he's like, if we could add Oakland, that would be a dream. Because then we can get a better conference going, and we can start competing with the Missouri Valley as far as, the strength of our conference. And he also is like, he's throwing out SIU Edwardsville, which isn't really ready in basketball, but they've been ready in soccer forever. If I recall, soccer at Oakland's been Division I long before the rest of the program was, right?
I'd have to go back and check on that one. I really started following, but I mean, really, you know, if you look at it just recently, I mean, since 2000, nine times, regular season champion on the men's side, and then on the women's side, 1999, I believe the first year. I'm going back at least to where it lists Summit League. I don't know about, about anything before that, but, you know, four times in a row, tournament champions, another four after that, 2010 and 2012 on the women's. And I have a feeling that it could be on the women's side, Oakland and Milwaukee. You guys just really dominate in women's.
You know, we have the, I don't know if Penn State won the Big Ten women's championship this year, but if they didn't, then Milwaukee would have the longest streak of conference championships in women's soccer.
2000 is when that streak started.
Yeah, we've been very good for a very long time in women's soccer, and from the point of view of that sport, I think that a lot of our fans are just going to be happy to not be bored at women's soccer games. You know, every year we just kill. And in women's soccer, we'll beat Cleveland State by 7. It'd just be a romp. Like, we can just run through the conference. Occasionally we'll lose a couple games. Like, I think last year we lost 2 games in conference, and so we only won the regular season title by 1 game. And in 2008, we tied for the regular season title. And then, but we were the 2 seed because the other team had beaten us. It was Loyola, actually. And we went down there and we ended up beating them 6-0. There was 1 year, but we tied with Butler, and Butler got to host the tournament at the Butler Bowl, and we beat them in the title game 6-0. I mean, we've got, I think in pro soccer, we have like 7 or 8 women's soccer players that are playing pro abroad right now. Sarah Hagen, who was our star player for 4 years, she played 08 through 2011. She had, when she ended her career, she was the 9th all-time goal scorer in NCAA history.
Okay.
And, she plays for Bayern Munich.
Okay.
And she's an alternate for the U.S. women's national team. And I talked to Mike Moynihan, who was our coach for a long time, and he said that it's entirely possible that Sarah Hagen will be on the roster for the next Women's World Cup and the Olympics in, what is it, 2016 is the next Summer Olympics. And she's really good. We've got a hell of a program. We've had the top goal scorer in the NCAA like 7 or 8 times in the past 20 years. We had a really strong offense, and you'd always rack up the stats. It's kind of like, a lower division basketball team where they have one guy who just sits at the 3-point arc and doesn't even play defense, and all he does is just take threes. We've got one of those like gimmicky offenses a little bit, but, yeah, it's on the horizon league, and, you know, adding Oakland would be excellent. I mean, it will be excellent because, you know, at Milwaukee, we care a ton about soccer. You know, we average about 600, 700 people at soccer games. And for big games, we'll get, you know, 1,500 or more. And it was important to our coaches to get a school that wasn't terrible at it. Because I know that our coaches were worried about adding IUPUI or IPFW, just like the basketball coaches were. Those are such terrible programs that adding a good one in Oakland is very important to us. And I was personally very happy to add Oakland. We've had Oakland here probably 4 or 5 times in the past 15 years here in Milwaukee, and we've played in Rochester a bunch too. So Oakland is a program that we are very, very familiar with, and I am all about adding them in the conference. I'm happier for soccer than I am for basketball, and it's obvious that the basketball program is great at Oakland. It's just such an obvious addition that it just makes total sense.
No doubt. And here's another one for you. Speaking of streaks, on the swimming and diving side, men's and women's, Oakland has been been the Summit League champion since 1999-2000 on both sides.
Yeah, last Sunday, we had this awards banquet that we do every year called the Golden Panthers. I say every year, but it's only the second year we've done it. And it's basically an Academy Award, an Academy Award ceremony for the athletic teams, where it's basically the 300 student athletes at UWM come, and then you get people who work in athletics, a bunch of donors, sponsors, and they bring me for some reason, and everybody gives out awards like who had the best comeback performance, who's the best, who's the best male athlete. It's kind of like the ESPYs for just UWM.
I hope they're not as long as the ESPYs.
It was about 2 hours, but it was funny. I mean, they had a pretty good time. The women's volleyball coach, Susie Johnson, had a music video to, what song was it? Crap, I can't remember. I think it was like Holla Back Girl. It was insane. It was like the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but everybody rolling in the aisles just laughing. And the reason I bring it up is because I sat with Kyle Clemens, who is the head swimming coach for Milwaukee. And we were talking about the possible teams, and I said, it looks like Oakland's coming. And he's like, really? I'm like, what's wrong with that? He's like, well, I was hoping to win a conference championship in the next decade. he's like, we've had meets with them, and they're just, he says, what Oakland really does well is they really recruit Eastern Europe. I don't know if, like, whatever it is, Oakland really recruits Eastern Europe very well in swimming. So that's why they're able to be such a dynamite program. And with him, he has certain limits. I mean, with some of our lesser sports, the university prefers that they pick in-state students for scholarships, because I know that tennis has that and swimming and diving has that, and track and field does, but then again, track and field, the best athletes do come from around here, so it's just something that they prefer to do. And for swimming, he says, I wish we could recruit Eastern Europe like Oakland does. So adding Oakland for swimming and diving is just another sport in a million sports where Oakland just raises the profile of the conference.
Absolutely. Let's touch on a few other things in terms of what we might be walking into. Women's basketball, is it just pretty much Green Bay, maybe Cleveland State? I mean, you look down the list, pretty much Green Bay. Are they going to be good next year? Give us an idea, maybe really quick, of just are they pretty much the hard hitters? Who else is traditionally looks good?
This is Green Bay's conference in women's basketball. Green Bay is where every school really champions men's basketball. Green Bay champions both basketball teams, but especially women's basketball. Their women's basketball team plays in the Crest Center, which is their arena. They only share it with volleyball. But men's basketball plays downtown at the Rush Center. The Crest Center is like their home, and it was built specifically for women's basketball. It's like the arena in that it seats about 4,000, but instead of being like an equal height bowl, it actually is the two sidelines go up like two or three levels, and then the end zones are very small, so they can show they can hide the fact that they only have like 6,000 students at their school. But yeah, it's basically Green Bay's conference. Other schools will get really good players. There was a few years where we were just as good or better than Green Bay. We had Tracy Edwards, who was probably like the best player the conference has ever had. She has a conference and state record in, and obviously school record in points and rebounds. And she actually almost committed to Green Bay. And if they had gotten her, they probably would have had a Final Four team her senior year. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's Green Bay's conference. And we're all, it's their world and we're all just living in it. Obviously, you know, we're all trying. We hired a new women's basketball coach last year and she's really good. And they just got a commitment. We actually just got a commitment of a player who picked us over Green Bay, which happens probably like once every like 3 years, where a player will pick Milwaukee over Green Bay. And, you know, hopefully that girl's the base of a really good program. But, yeah, as for right now, it's Green Bay's world. We're all just living in it.
On the men's side, obviously Valpo, some of their bigger names departed. Let's talk really quick. The Ray McCallum Jr. era is now over, and I covered when Ray and Trey Ziegler both announced on the same day at the same location, two McDonald's All-America, All-Americans coming from the state of Michigan to play for their dads. Obviously, the Trey Ziegler one hasn't worked out so well. He's going to be now on to his third school as he announced he's going to be transferring from Pitt a few weeks ago. Ray, much more successful. Staying at Detroit with his dad. They make the NCAA tournament, but he leaves a year early. You had a chance to, you know, follow the Horizon League more, and you're kind of more independent of the whole Oakland Horizon thing. What are your thoughts on his time there, and maybe the impact that he left there, if any?
We definitely identified this year and last year as Detroit's, you know, their time to really shine, because Detroit has been, I mean, they've always been this way, kind of, but especially since Ray Sr. took over the program, they've always been pretty sketchy as a basketball program. I mean, they had a player last year get kicked out of a nightclub at 19 years old because he was underage. Then 2 hours later, he tried to come back and get into the same nightclub again, and they ended up calling the cops and getting him arrested because they found out that when he came back, he was carrying a taser on him. they're not the most, you know, and obviously Eli Holman, who graduated last year, has, or if he did graduate, I don't know if he actually graduated, but Eli Holman exhausted his eligibility last year, and he had a long history of bad things happening to him, and are happening because of him. And, you know, they've had players quitting. Detroit has had, since the 2005-06 season, Detroit has lost 28 scholarship players to transfer. And it's just a revolving door there. And I would not be surprised at all to see Trey Ziegler going to Detroit. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Juwan Howard left Western Michigan. Or Juwan Howard Jr. left Western Michigan to come to Detroit.
Right.
And he played his first season there at Detroit this year. They don't have a problem with recruiting bad citizens. And Ray Jr., by all accounts, was not a bad citizen, but he's a coach's son. And he was surrounded by a lot of players who are, you know, kind of, you know, I would call Nick Minerva a thug when he come here, because you get this guy and he'd show up and he'd have tattoos up and down his arms and he would get in fights with players on the court. And this was just something that they did.
I don't want to single out Detroit either, though, because every program has guys like this. So I gotta be fair and unbalanced to some extent. I mean, most mid-major programs, and you know, the news doesn't get reported quite as prevalently as some of the bigger programs where it just blows up so big. That J.R. Giddens, you know, gets, stabbed or stabs someone or something like that. But, you know, I just staying fair and unbalanced.
Yeah, it just, for me, from being around this conference for almost a decade now, looking around, it's really Detroit is this program that just is just a revolving door, because you get so many guys that don't academically qualify, you get so many guys that don't they're bad citizens. You get Eli Holman got suspended for a game because he punched a UIC player in the groin, and the guy was just one in a long parade of guys. You know, Brandon Cotton was this player in Detroit who was. He was their star player for 3 years, and then he was going to lose his senior year of eligibility because he got kicked off the team as a senior by Perry Watson. And then he took the year off, and he came back the next year and said, "Hey, can I play?" And the NCAA clearinghouse took right up until like a week before the season started to say, "Okay, you can play this. You can play this season." And he quit before the season even started. So Detroit, there are a lot of schools that have players like these guys, but it happens a ton at Detroit. And I just don't know if it's like, you know, if it's an institutional thing or what. Obviously they have the scandal going on with their now former athletic director. And you've heard about that, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carrie Gaither was their athletic director. She had been sleeping with one of the men's basketball assistant coaches on the road trips. And then one of the other assistant coaches, Carlos Briggs, he claims that Ray McCallum Jr. threw him under the bus and he gets fired. And it's just, Detroit is just a mess of a program. There are so many people that I have made contact with and had relationships with in, you know, just, you know, had, you know, fostered friendships with who worked at Detroit who are now at other schools. Like, I look at Milwaukee, and for all the dysfunction that people say we have in our athletic department, most of the people, like 75% of the people that are here, that were here on my first day are still here. And that was 8 years ago. And at Detroit, most of the people that I know from Detroit and know from talking to them over the years, they're all somewhere else. And it's not, and most of the time it's voluntary. You know, Carrie Gaither had to resign under pretty, you know, a big Deadspin article and pretty scary circumstances. But, you know, for the most part, people voluntarily leave that school. And, you know, Detroit, I have my podcast co-host, Paul Spacuzza, likes to call Detroit a bandit program. Kind of like one you'd expect at an SEC school. And, you know, that's how they run it. It worked for them last year. You know, they got to the NCAA tournament. They got blown out because they were a 3 seed. As a basketball team, like I said, we identified them as a team that would be, we identified them as a team that would peak last year and this year, and I really feel like they kind of missed the boat, and obviously Ray McCallum Jr. thinks so too because that he's leaving. And it looks like Jason Caliste is probably leaving too. And that leaves, you know, Nick Minerath's graduating, that leaves Juwan Howard Jr. and a bunch of stiffs basically. So, they'll probably bring in some JUCO guys, bad citizens maybe, good basketball players, yes. It's just what's going to happen with how they are.
I'm not going to say anything. We've already got enough bad blood going between the two programs.
Yeah, you can let me do it, because I have no problem riling up the Detroit fans. I have no problem, because they're the most entitled group of people.
Wasn't me.
Some of my best friends, like Reggie Hall, who's the sports program director at WXYZ, he's a huge Detroit fan, and he and I are very good friends. And they got a donor named Ben Lee, who I am very good friends with. And they always come to Milwaukee, and we always go and get dinner or drinks after games or whatever. And they're very much the exception to the rule. Their fan base is it's kind of fun to poke at them. So I'll definitely take the bullet on that one if you decide to post this on their board.
Ted, what do you think? Just a kind of a quick evaluation. If Not maybe so much this next year, but over the course of the next 6, 7, 8 years, if you had to kind of peg out kind of a hierarchy in men's basketball, how would you lay it out? As far as the Horizon League and now bringing in Oakland.
The thing about Horizon League schools is, how are they able to retain their coaches? I think you'll see Bryce Drew probably leaving Valpo within 3 years. And it matters what coach they bring in to replace him. But they're not going to be particularly good next year. But in 2 and 3 years, Valpo's going to be pretty good. At Wright State, they've got Billy Donlin, who finally put it together, and it looks, and they graduate nobody. They're losing nobody to transfer. They're adding Krishan Hopkins, who played at Butler and got kicked off the team there. So they're adding one of the Butler's star players that got kicked off the team, and they're adding a couple other guys, and they lose nobody. So Wright State this year and in the future should be pretty good. Because, I mean, Wright State has the facilities that most of us don't have. They've got a $10 million practice facility that's gorgeous. They've got the Nutter Center, which was built like 20 years ago, which is a great arena. You know, they've got they're the number two option in their city. I mean, that's the reason the Horizon League doesn't average as much as the Missouri Valley. Because you go to Omaha and Carbondale and Cedar Falls, and there's nothing else to do. In Horizon League cities, you know, think of Oakland. You got Detroit, yeah, but you've also got the Pistons. You've also got the Tigers, the Lions. You've got a whole ton of teams that are pulling fans. And you're really competing with all these teams for the entertainment dollar. So, but with runs right state, I mean, they'll be really good. You know, I want to say that we're going to turn it around. It looks like our recruiting class is outstanding. I know that we're pulling Steve McWhorter, who's an Indiana State transfer. We're pulling him off of his automatic transfer this year. If we would have had him starting at point guard this year, we would have been a lot better than 8-24. It was just a bad season for us.
How about UW Green Bay? Looks like they've got two guys in Kiefer Sykes who averaged about 16 a game and a good rebounder in Jordan Faust as well coming back.
Yeah, their star player is also coming back, and that's Alec Brown. He'll be here next year. I actually just mentioned on their fan board, their Fear the Phoenix board, I talked about I told them, I said, you know, Alec Brown's not quite where Keith Benson was as a junior, but he's pretty darn good. So, I mean, he's got a ticket to the NBA probably. He'll probably be at least a second round pick. I know that NBA DraftNet had him as a lottery pick early this season that fell off rather quickly, but, Alec Brown's a 7'1" center who can shoot from anywhere on the floor and he can bang down low. He gets pushed around by big bodies, but you add him and then Jordan Faust, who gets a ton of blocks and blocks and rebounds, and he can score. And then you have Kiefer Sykes, who's just this little spark plug, who I would love to have on Milwaukee. Those three guys as a core are going to be very good next year. But we don't know what Green Bay is going to have next year because they've had four players leave this offseason. Actually, during the season, they lost Cam Cerrone, who was the best shooter in the Horizon League. And they lost Sultan Muhammad, who replaced Cerrone in the starting lineup to transfer. They lost they lost Nick Ahrens, who was their center of the future. And they lost Ryan Bross, who was like a walk-on center. But Ryan Bross filed a formal complaint with the university about how he was treated by the coaching staff. And then Brennan Kugel, who's graduating, also filed a formal complaint. And publicly they've talked about a university investigation into the men's basketball program, specifically how Brian Wardle and his staff are treating the players. And you know, I don't want to say one way or the other, but I do know from talking to one of their assistants that it has already hurt them in recruiting. So who knows if Green Bay is going to be able to be they're as good as they could, should have been next year. I mean, we talk about we talked about how Detroit really was going to peak last year and this year. Well, Green Bay, they had Cerrone and Sultan Muhammad. If they had kept those guys and moved forward and gotten a couple more, next year they would have been by far one of the two or three favorites. And I don't know if I can label them as that anymore because they're not deep. They don't have a shooting guard. They don't have a shooting guard, and they don't have a small forward, basically. They've got Faust. They've got Faust, they've got Brown, they've got Sykes, and they really don't have a lot else. It's, you know, it's really weird what's going on there. As far as UIC, you know, they're getting back. They had a guy named Jimmy Collins who was their head coach for 15 years, or 14 or 15 years. And one of their fans had the best line ever. He said that Jimmy Collins was a great coach at UIC for 8 years. Unfortunately, he was here for 14. I mean, the guy really, really wore out his welcome. And Green Bay really, or excuse me, UIC really suffered because of it. They hired Howard Moore, who was a Bo Ryan assistant at Wisconsin. And Howard's taken them, and they've gotten some big wins. They beat Illinois. They've beaten Northwestern under Howard Moore, but they haven't made their mark on the conference yet. And they're losing a bunch of players. I just don't know. They tend to be a school that'll take a fifth-year senior. They have 2 years ago, they had Paul Carter, and this last year they had Josh Priddle, who was a transfer from UCF. And for them, it seems like if they can grab a couple JUCO guys and another fifth-year transfer, they should be fine. But I don't know if they'll be a real threat to win the conference. I think they're still a couple of years away. Who else have I not talked about? I haven't talked about Cleveland or Youngstown. Cleveland State should be good next year. They're bringing back Anton Grady, who blew out his knee this year. But I was told that he's on track to return. It was like the sixth game of the season. I don't remember if he tore his ACL or what, but he was out for the year. And he was probably the best returning rebounder in the conference. And then he scores like 12 or 13 a game. So he's really good there. And they've got
super athletic as well. I've had a chance to watch him on the AAU circuit.
Yeah, they have a couple, AAU guys. They've taken a couple kids from Wisconsin, Junior LaMamba and Charlie Lee. Charlie Lee's from Milwaukee, and we offered him a walk-on spot, but he took a scholarship to Cleveland State, and he's pretty good. I think our coaches kind of feel bad that we let him go. But, you know, Cleveland State's got a good nucleus. I don't know if they're going to have a championship-level team, but they should be a lot better than they were this year. Youngstown is going to fall apart. Youngstown will – they keep Kendrick Perry, but they're losing Blake Allen, and they're losing – in my eyes, a way larger loss is they're losing Damian Urgel to graduation. Damian Urgel, I don't know if you got to see him play at all, but he's like, he's a 6'7" block machine. And he's short for a center, but he had just amazing hops. And his timing was excellent. And he would jump, and it would seem like he would just float. It was just excellent to watch him play for 3 years. And they're losing him, and they lose Blake Allen. And Kendrick Perry is going to be a senior, and Kendrick Perry is definitely one of the two or three best guards in the conference, but it's going to be an uphill battle for them to even be sixth place again. I think UIC is going to probably fall off and be like eighth or ninth next year. I think that covered pretty much everybody. Valpo's gonna fall off. Like you said, they're losing a lot of guys. They're losing a lot of guys, and the ones that they're bringing back just don't really excite me too much. I mean, Ryan Brokoff's gonna be on the Australian Olympic team every time they come around. He's on the men's national team. He'll be, He'll be one of Australia's best shooters. The great thing about Brokoff is I don't think I've ever seen a player in the Horizon League as smart as he is offensively. He just knew, like, which spot on the floor to be at all times, whether he had the ball or not. And he's not fast, but he would always be so open because he was so smart on getting away from defenders that he's just going to be a huge loss for Valpo. And I don't think there's a way they win a championship next season. I think Valpo's probably going to be a middle team, probably between fourth and sixth in the conference.
Real quick before I let you go, who do you think is, you know, if they don't add a team, maybe they add three teams in the future, who do you think is maybe that 10th team?
I think the 10th team they'll add this year, because I know that from talking to that administrator, that executive in the Horizon League, he told me that they are definitely the time. It depends on when how quickly the other school can get board approval. So it sounds like there's definitely going to be a 10th team. I know that they have this. They have the template for schedules for a 10th team because we had 10 teams for 5 years, and we know that they were working on it just in case. And personally, I think it should be Northern Kentucky. I know that NKU isn't going to be eligible for the NCAA tournament until 2016, but they weren't going to be there anyways. Even if they were eligible this year, they weren't going to get there for a few years. Their basketball program's not there yet. And that's why a lot of people in the Horizon League, including some of the executive that I've said that he's trying to convince the others that NKU is a good plan. I mean, we've been talking about it back and forth. And I just think that NKU makes perfect sense as an investment in the future. I think by adding Oakland and NKU, you take care of both things. You take care of having an established, strong mid-major program in Oakland, and you invest in the future by having a sleeping juggernaut in NKU. And that's absolutely the case. Northern Kentucky could be the third best program in Kentucky by the end of this decade. I mean, they have... How familiar are you with NKU?
Very little, but give us a quick run.
Northern Kentucky just joined Division I. This was their first season as a Division I program. So they will be this season, then 13, 14, 14, 15, 15, 16. Those 4 years, they're ineligible for the NCAA tournament because they reclassified from Division II to Division I. They're in the Atlantic Sun Conference right now because with Florida Gulf Coast. The reason they're in that conference and not the Ohio Valley is because the Ohio Valley membership was going to add them and decided not to because several conference members were whining that adding Northern Kentucky would be bad for them because NKU's facilities would give them a wild recruiting advantage. Now, what they mean is Northern Kentucky has the best facilities of any mid-major program in the Midwest. They use their move from D2 to D1 to push a facilities expansion, kind of like with the arena. And you guys built the arena, and you were doing your fundraising while you were making that move to Division I. And that's what NKU did. They just did it on a way larger scale. They just built... It opened in 2008 or 2009. They opened a $60 million 9,000 seat basketball arena, complete with all of the, you know, luxury suites and everything that you need to have just an outstanding arena. And they've also got a baseball stadium that immediately would be the best in the Horizon League, but that would get passed by UIC, who's opening a new one in a couple of years. It's just a, you know, they're Northern Kentucky University, and everybody hears Northern Kentucky, and it sounds like they're in the middle of freaking nowhere. It sounds like you say in Northern Kentucky, and they're like, oh, is that like Western Kentucky or Eastern Kentucky? It's the middle of some tiny little town in the middle of nowhere. Is this like Bowling Green or something? And it's not. Northern Kentucky is in suburban Cincinnati. Northern Kentucky is in this town called Highland Heights, which is kind of like a, it's kind of like the Auburn Hills of Cincinnati. It's a rich area. And NKU is, you know, they've got the facilities. They're in the Cincinnati market.
I'm looking at them right now. They're real nice. This is the Bank of Kentucky Center, the men's and women's basketball facility. Looks amazing. As does a nice little soccer stadium and a volleyball little stadium as well that seats 2,000. Yeah, this is some good stuff.
they have the Bill Acre baseball, you know, the Bill Acre baseball complex. It's not really a it's got artificial turf on the infield. And so that's, you know, that's good because, you know, obviously up north here we get a lot of rain. I mean, at Milwaukee, we just played our first home game on Wednesday. You know, and Northern Kentucky, because they've got that infield turf, and their plan is to add, they're going to renew the dugouts, they're adding seating capacity, they're planning to make the outfield also field turf. Once they do all of that, they'll have a really great baseball complex, and baseball was very important to the Horizon League. Oakland may have a great swimming and diving program, great soccer, great basketball, but the reason you guys were at the top of the heap was because you have baseball. And baseball is something that's been very important because when Butler left, we dropped baseball down to 5 programs. And we needed to add another program or else next season we were going to lose our automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So Wright State, UIC, Milwaukee, and Belpo, all schools who care deeply about baseball, were freaking out, and we made sure that we were adding a baseball program. Mm-hmm. Word was, I heard rumors that Detroit wanted to get at a private school. They wanted Robert Morris, which doesn't play baseball. And Wright State's AD or somebody looked at them and said, absolutely not, we're adding a baseball school. So that's why Oakland jumped to the top of the heap. And NKU, with all their plans for baseball, would just strengthen that conference. All their, you know, their soccer stadium is pretty great. I mean, it's concrete, it's a grandstand. I mean, they could play club football or like Pioneer League football at that stadium immediately if they wanted to. But they've got, you know, that soccer stadium is excellent. Their volleyball facility is like perfect for that sport because it's less than 2,000 seats. It's both sides. It's just an outstanding home for that sport. It's also where they have their offices. But, I mean, obviously, the real reason NKU is such a huge deal and why we should get on them now is the Bank of Kentucky Center. The Bank of Kentucky Center will immediately be the best arena in the Horizon. I mean, it's such a good facility that Ohio Valley schools complained that they wouldn't be able to recruit against this school. I mean, that's all I need to know.
Well, who would not be down for a conference tournament there? Raise your hand.
I would love to go down there. I mean, Cincinnati, you know, they fit the Horizon League's mission. You know, if you go back to our founding in 1979, this is a conference that was founded as the Midwest Cities Conference. And it grew to the Midwestern Collegiate Conference and then the Horizon League. But the mission has always been the same. Urban universities in the Midwest. And that's what NKU is. You know, it's 10 minutes from, you know, it's a 10-minute drive from NKU's campus to Xavier's campus. It's 15 minutes from NKU to the University of Cincinnati's campus. Most importantly, though, it's only an hour drive from NKU to Wright State. And that's a huge, huge, huge deal because that gives us travel partners.
There you go.
You guys have been in the summit for so long. I don't even know if you guys even could do travel partners for road trips. Could you?
I believe our travel partner's been IPFW.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are you, like 3 or 4 hours from IPFW, right?
Yeah, it's about 3.5 or 4.
Well, Detroit and Wright State have been travel partners for the past, you know, decade plus. Because the travel partners elsewhere are obvious. UIC and Loyola, Milwaukee and Green Bay, Cleveland and Youngstown are an hour from each other. UIC and Loyola were half an hour from each other. Green Bay and Milwaukee were 2 hours. Butler and Valpo, when we added Valpo, they're 2 hours apart. So Detroit and Wright State have kind of always been this odd couple because they're like 6 hours away from each other. So they're supposed to have this rivalry because Wright State is the odd Ohio school out in the three Ohio schools. They had to be the travel partner with Detroit. And if, you know, adding Oakland, obviously Oakland and Detroit are perfect travel partners. You're going to be closer than any two conference programs. Part of the reason why you haven't already been in the conference is Detroit is scared of how close you are. And if we add Northern Kentucky, the farthest any two schools will be from each other is Milwaukee and Green Bay, which is where Green Bay is 2 hours north of where we are. Even losing Loyola and Butler, UIC is on the south side of Chicago. Valpo is in northwest Indiana. Valpo and UIC are only like 45 to 50 minutes from each other. It's just obvious. Northern Kentucky is such a huge ceiling. And they're such a great fit geographically, and they fit the Horizon League mission so well that the only reason they're not in the conference today is because they haven't done anything, and they're still a provisional D1 program. And I know that the Horizon League membership has always shied away from adding provisional D1 schools. Oakland was a school we looked at in 2001, and part of the reason we didn't add them was because Oakland, you know, had only been D1 for like 3 years at that point. Now, NKU would be even further away from an NCAA tournament eligibility, but NKU is just so perfect of a fit, just like Oakland was. And because it's provisional, nobody was looking at them. But now that Oakland's in the fold, now we can look at NKU and say, this is the obvious choice. And for me, if we're looking at adding a 10th school, can we get Robert Morris? Yeah. Robert Morris would be an hour away from Youngstown. But with Robert Morris, you're talking about a school that plays football, it plays ice hockey, it plays lacrosse. Those are the three most expensive sports aside from men's basketball. You know, men's basketball is more expensive than lacrosse, but it's not as expensive as ice hockey or football. So when you're looking at Robert Morris, you're looking at men's basketball as at best the third best program at that school. And if Youngstown State's addition has taught us anything, it's that we should be adding a school that puts basketball first. And that's what Oakland has done, that's what Valpo did, and that's what NKU is doing. We need to be adding a basketball-centric school. And if Detroit whines because it's not a private school that we're adding, then that's tough luck. And if they want to look elsewhere, let them. If Detroit wants to go to the A-10 or the MAAC, let them. We'll add another school that won't be such a bandit program, that won't be living under the cloud of potential NCAA sanctions constantly. And we'll get, you know, we'll do well. NKU is just so, it's just, it has such high potential. What I worry about with NKU is that we'll sit on our hands for years and we'll wait because we don't want to bring a provisional program into the fold. And then by the time they're not a provisional program, they'll have such a good program that the Ohio Valley will just say, oh yeah, come with us. And NKU will feel better because about being in the OVC than the Horizon because they'd be one of, what, six Kentucky schools in that conference? They've got EKU, WKU. They'd have NKU. They've got Morehead State, Murray State. You know, Belmont's the hop, skip, and the jump away from Murray. You know, it's a very close-knit geographic conference.
No
it's
doubt.
Definitely a lot better to them than both the Horizon and their current Atlantic Sun. So we need to grab them now.
We
need to grab them as soon as possible. Make them the 10th team. And then we can talk about 12 for next year.
You sold me. I'm all for the conference tournament there, too. Let's get it going.
The conference tournament, that's something I should have mentioned for your fans. We have a very different format than every other conference. In fact, a couple conference tournaments have adopted similar formats to ours. What we do is we give the top two seeds get a bye all the way to the conference tournament semifinals. The number one seed hosts the quarterfinals, semifinals, and then if they win, they host the championship game. The reasoning is that we want the best possible team to get in the conference in the NCAA tournament. And does it suck for everybody who's 3 through 9 or 3 through 10? Yeah, but we send the best team. And it's obviously worked for the Horizon League where it sucks for other conferences. You know, you send, you know, in the summit, if you send like Oral Roberts and the conference tournament would be at like South Dakota or IUPUI or something, all of a sudden Oral Roberts is, you know, Oral Roberts wins the tournament even though they're like the 4 seed and they go into the NCAA tournament as a 15 or a 16 and they get waxed. Oakland's first tournament is perfect example. You guys won the conference tournament, and you guys were a 16 seed. You had to win the play-in game just to get into the field. And if you had been, you know, if we had gone with that format, would you be in the tournament? Maybe, maybe not. But the strongest team would have gotten in. And that's why the Horizon does that. It is when we had 10 teams, it was the 1-2 at the spot of the semifinals, and then 3 hosted 10, 4 hosted 9, and so on. And they would play, you know, everybody 3 through 10 would have to win 4 games, and 1 and 2 would just have to win 2 to get to the tournament. And did it suck for the schools 3 through 10? Yes. But we ended with Milwaukee has a Sweet 16. Milwaukee has another game, a season where we won a conference, or NCAA tournament game. You know, Wright State, the year they got into the tournament, they got crushed, but they had a good seed. They got a 13 seed that year. Whereas if they had lost the conference tournament because it would have been somewhere else, you know, it would have been a much worse team as a 15 or 16 seed. You know, Velpo this past year, they got a 14 seed, which, you know, it's not good, but it's better than what it would have been if, you know, Green Bay would have won it as the road team. Or Wright State would have won it as the road team. With, you know, obviously, Butler. You know, we look at Butler, and yeah, Butler is Butler because Butler has Pinkel Fieldhouse. They spend in basketball. They've got Brad Stevens. But Butler, if Butler had not had that tournament format, if they had had to win 4 games like everybody else at a neutral site or a specific site somewhere else, if we had a round robin for hosting the tournament, and now you have Butler, you know, having to win, all of a sudden Butler has to beat Milwaukee at Milwaukee, even though Butler is the number one seed, Milwaukee be the 3 seed. All of a sudden you give that 3 seed a whole lot of advantage at playing a home game.
You know, two comments for that. I'll say, you know, I mean, that is part of what builds up new programs. And secondly, from a media standpoint, I enjoy the camaraderie that was South Dakota getting to go there and everyone gathering all at one place. So,
did you go this year?
I didn't go this year, but I've gone the past 2 years.
You know, obviously the Summit is such a far-flung conference that having a format like ours would be difficult. Because you want to have that one place that everybody knows they can book a flight to, you know, 4 months in advance. The problem with being in the Horizon League with our tournament is that you don't know until like 2 or 3 weeks beforehand where it's going to be. And in fact, you might not even know until the final day. I mean, we won the conference championship in 2011, and we tied with Butler and Cleveland State for number one, except we got the number one seed because we were 3-1 against the two schools. We split with Cleveland State, and we swept Butler that year. So if we had lost, I mean, we won the championship on the final day of the regular season. We beat Youngstown State in overtime. If we had lost that game, it would have been at Butler or Cleveland State. I don't even remember. And the point I'm making is that that was a Saturday, and the following Friday, the conference tournament's first, the quarterfinals were at the number one seed. So everybody doesn't know if they're going to be there. And for all the schools that are 3 through 10, you didn't know if you should be scheduling, you should be calling up hotels or scheduling flights or, you know, making travel plans, because you didn't know if you were even going to be at the site for the top, at the top seed site, because you didn't know if you were going to win on that first Tuesday. But the Horizon League is such a close conference that flights really aren't, they're really not necessary. You can drive from anywhere in the conference to anywhere else. I think Green Bay to Youngstown is like 10 hours, and that's the longest drive. I know that, you know, Milwaukee, it's 8 hours to Youngstown. It's like 6 hours to Wright State, 6 hours to Detroit, and now Oakland.
Well,
you know, we don't have that long travel. So, yeah, it sucks to not have that neutral place. But the last time we did a neutral site for the conference tournament, we did it at we had a round where every school would host a year, and we had a championship game at Cleveland State in 2002, which is the reason we changed the format the following year. In 2002, we had our the game was hosted at Cleveland State. It was a championship game on ESPN, so it was in this 13,000 seat Wolstein Center, and it was the number 6 seed UIC and the number 8 seed Loyola. It was just like, and there were maybe 200 people in the building. Cleveland State wasn't good, but it was their turn to host. And, you know, South Dakota, you know, it was great for you guys to have it in South Dakota the last 3 years or whatever, but what happens if South Dakota State and North Dakota State are bad?
Well, I've got an answer to that real quick before we wrap up. The women's side will always draw there because there's always, I feel like North Dakota State and South Dakota State were always going to have strong women's teams, and that made up at least half the attendance.
Right.
So there's your answer to that. I mean, there's different opinions. Like I said, I mean, sometimes for media selfish reasons. But no doubt the distance has played a part in facilitating the decisions being made. Jimmy, before I let you go, give a quick plug to the Twitter and your article that you've put up.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can follow me. My Twitter account is @PantherU. That's Panther with the letter U at the end of it. My website is pantheru.com. We're always looking for more people on our forum. It's forum.pantheru.com. We like to get the conversation going. Obviously there's Grizz talk for Oakland, and I put my article on that forum the other day. And, you know, just come on the site. We accept everybody of all conference teams. You can come on, talk with us, check it out. You know, I'm always following the stories. I mean, I basically treat Panther U as if I were working for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or the Freep, you know. I mean, this is a job to me. I take it very seriously. So I try and get as much, I work as much as I can to bring the best news. So hopefully I'll be bringing news about a 10th school within the next few weeks. But, you know, Oakland, it's a great addition. You know, Rob Domofsky had it like a month ago, saying that Oakland was coming in, and then Oakland's people were like, well, we're not in there yet. So I would give him the credit for this one. But, you know, I'm so ecstatic to have Oakland in the Horizon League, and I strongly encourage everybody from Oakland, just get out there and introduce yourselves around the conference. We've got a great community of Horizon League fans that get together and talk conference hoops. And it'll be great to have a school that cares about soccer, cares about baseball, because that's what we care about in Milwaukee. That's what UIC cares about. That's what Valpo cares about. That's what Wright State cares about. So, you know, I look forward to having Oakland as the 9th member. I look forward to having another 10th member. Hopefully, like I said, we can get that out soon. But like I said, follow Panther U. Check out PantherU.com. Join our forum. I will say this. We haven't added you onto it yet, but go to the website, gouwm.com. It's run by a photographer at UWM named John J. Ward. gouwm.com/hub. And that will give you a hub. It's basically the Horizon League hub. And every message board, every news site, every newspaper that covers the teams, and everything in the Horizon League is right there on that site. gouwm.com/hub. And that's the way you can go check out every conference member's message boards. So, like I said, get yourselves out there, introduce yourselves to the conference. I really appreciate you having me on here, Brian. This has been wonderful. I can't wait. It's great to have great news like Oakland joining the conference. So, I guess it's good luck to the future, and maybe I'll get out there for one of the fall sports games.
Definitely. Glad having you on the podcast, Jimmy.
All right, man.
Obviously, we ended up running way longer than I thought there, but good having Jimmy on. Look forward to having on Raphael. We're going to push that, looks like, to sometime on Wednesday, along with another interview. You can check that out at pressrosenotsafe.wordpress.com. And as usual, you can follow me on Twitter. It's @Brian, BryanWXOU. Thanks for listening, guys. See you later.